Brown hits it well to left field. Gurriel is back. He is at the fence, and it's over the wall for a home run.
Yeah, that was a home run from Cam Gallagher in the third inning of the game yesterday between the Blue Jays and the Royals. Royals trying to salvage a third game and try to avoid a sweep from the Blue Jays, but yeah, that did not happen. The Blue Jays end up with the win 4-1 over the Royals. That included the first home run of the career for Bo Bichette, the son of Dante Bichette, who we told you about earlier this week, made his Major League debut. That's how it's gone for the Royals. They finished the season 1-6 against the Blue Jays this year. And the Blue Jays came into this series with the identical record of 40-67 that the Royals had. They're now 43-67, and the Royals are right back at 30 games below 500 at 40-70. Royals yesterday mustered up just 3 hits. The night before they had 11 hits, but they only had 2 runs and lost 9-2. Yesterday they lose 4-1. 9 hits for the Blue Jays, just 3 for the Royals. Jacob Junis wasn't terrible, went 7 innings, gave up 4 runs, struck out 6, but did give up 2 home runs. Jacob Wagspack of the Blue Jays gave up just 3 hits and 1 earned run and got the win, moving to 2-1. So Junis is now 6-10 after the loss there yesterday for the Royals. As we mentioned, Royals now 40-70. Ned Yost talking yesterday about the Royals and the fact that they got some good hits, but got some good contact on the baseball, but couldn't really get anything going offensively as far as scoring runs.
We smoked a lot of balls early. We just didn't have anything to show for it. I don't know how, I don't know if you guys can see exit velocity, but I'd be interested to see what that was on Solaris ball left field. I mean, and good gosh, home. I mean, that ball was smoked. And Dozier's ball was smoked. I mean, we were just hitting balls hard. We just couldn't find holes. We just couldn't find a hole, and we couldn't get a break.
So they smoked them, but Jorge Soler went 0 for 4 with a strikeout. Hunter Dozier went 0 for 3. He did walk once, so that's a positive, I guess. The Royals got on base 5 times with a couple walks, but again, the offense just wasn't there yesterday. Cam Gallagher, again, the only RBI, the only run scored on a homer there in the third inning. Cam Gallagher, his second home run of the season, and he's out there after the trade from Martin Maldonado to the Cubs, and Martin Maldonado is on the move again. We'll tell you about that coming up here during the Sports Ticket as we have hit the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and a lot of those trades we'll tell you about here momentarily. But before we do that, we want to tell you that the K-18 State Baseball Tournament came to a close last night in Lucas. There was a 45-minute lightning delay during the championship game, so it took a while to get done. They also had a 9-9 tie after 7 innings, so they went into extras, and in 8 innings, Ellis is the champion of the K-18 State Baseball Tournament in 2019. They beat Concordia F&A 14-11 in 8 innings. So the Ellis squad is the K-18 champions. And third place game, the consolation, Goodland winning over Republic County 8-0. Full bracket and info can be found at nckssports.com for the K-18 State Baseball Tournament. They had I want to double check that, because they had a nice graphic that had all the K-18 state champions on it there last night that I saw on Facebook. I'm going to try to pull that up. Here we go. See when the last time Ellis won state was. It would be kind of interesting to just see that. And I need a little bit bigger look at this here. So, yeah, my eyes are not good when it's something this small. Concordia F&A was actually going for their first state championship since 2009 there last night, but took the loss. And I'm looking back here, and it's been a while for Ellis since they won a state championship. And I don't even know if they have. We're back into the 80s now. Yeah, Beloit won it in 1987. I should have looked at this a little bit before I started, but I believe I'm looking here, and I think that was the first state championship for Ellis at K-18. So, we had fun with that last week talking about Ellis, that they're our rival when we're in school. And I will say that Waukini's won 2 state championships. Actually, they've won 3 state championships from the list that I'm looking at. So we have them beat there. But Ellis, congratulations to them. It looks like that was their first state championship last night. congratulations to them. They won the state championship in K-18, 14-11 in 8 innings over Concordia F&A. So that wraps up the K-18 state baseball tournament there in Lucas for 2019, and really wraps up our coverage of summer baseball here in 2019. Congratulations to all the teams that competed and played well this summer in baseball, K-18, whether it be Pee Wee or we didn't have any right here immediate area Legion teams that made it to state or anything like that, so we didn't have a lot to cover on that aspect of it, but congratulations to all those teams as well that had good seasons, and wish you the best of luck as you get set for another season in 2020. So that's, again, K-18 state baseball. Bracket can be found at nckssports.com, the bracket and results for the K-18 state tournament in Lucas. All right, so yesterday was a big day for Major League Baseball. We're going to wrap this sports ticket today, by the way, with an interesting move made by the Kansas City Chiefs. And what does it say about their roster is basically where I'm going to go with that. But right, the Chiefs website is, like, dead this morning, so it's hard to get on there and try to see who's all on their roster in certain places. So hopefully by the time I talk about that, I might know more about the Chiefs and everybody that they have. I know that they've been dealing with some injuries, so they've made a change there on their roster. So, that's not working either. So we'll get to that when we get to that. There's a new running back for the Kansas City Chiefs in-house. We'll hear a lot from the coaches, players, and the certain player that's been moved to running back coming up. First, we want to talk about the Major League Baseball trade deadline. What a wild day it was yesterday. And the first deal that happened, or the last deal that happened, actually, is the biggest deal. And that was the Arizona Diamondbacks trading Zach Greinke to the Houston Astros. So in this deal, we'll tell you about the deal first, and then we'll kind of go over the ramifications of the deal and what it means for Houston Astros, because they have become probably the best rotation in Major League Baseball right now with this trade. The Astros making the biggest move of the trade deadline, acquiring Zach Greinke from the Diamondbacks for 4 prospects. Houston sending right-hander Corbin Martin, right-hander J.B. Bukauskas, as well as first baseman Seth Beer and infielder Josh Rojas to Arizona to complete the deal. Those are all prospects that are going to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So Houston gets Zach Greinke, who has had another very good season for the Diamondbacks this year. So far here in 2019, you'd think that this guy might slow down a little bit as he gets older, but ERA is actually his best since 2015 with the Dodgers. He had a 1.66 ERA and went 19-3 and finished second in the Cy Young that year. I got to go back and remember who won it. Oh, yeah, Jake Arrieta, who had a great season as well. Yeah, he just had an outstanding start that year and finished 22-6 with a 1.77 ERA. So, yeah, I mean, he was worthy there. But Zach had an outstanding year back in 2015. This is the best ERA that he's had since then, but I mean, it's not quite that good, but he's still pitching very well this year. He's 10-4 with a 2.90 ERA with the Diamondbacks here this season. WHIP is under 1. He's giving up less than 1 walk and hit per inning pitched. That's insane. He's only done that one other time in his career, and that was also in 2015. So you would think Zach Greinke at the age of 35 would not be quite as good as he was, you know, at the age of 31. But some of these numbers are almost just as good. That was insane that year, though. And then obviously back in 2009, 10 years ago with the Royals, he had a 2.16 ERA, went 16-8 on a bad team, but still won the Cy Young Award in the American League that year. But just an outstanding year so far for Zach Greinke. So you add that to the Houston Astros rotation here, and as you look at what the Astros now have in the tank, you've already talked about Greinke here, but you also have one of the best ever pitchers that's pitched in baseball, in Justin Verlander. He actually leads the American League in wins right now at 14-4 with a 2.73 ERA. His WHIP is also under 1. He's averaging just 0.8 walks and hits per innings pitched, 5.5 hits per 9 innings. Justin Verlander's having an outstanding year. He had one of those years back at the end of his career with the Tigers. It was kind of like, where's this guy going? He was 15-12 with a 4.54 ERA back in 2014, and everybody thought he was slowing down. Well, that didn't happen. He was traded to the Astros and has just been very, very good since then. very important part of what they did in winning the World Series back in 2017. 16-9 with a 2.52 ERA last year, 14-4 with a 2.73 ERA this year. Has been just outstanding for the Astros since he went there, and he's having a very good season yet again, and one of the best pitchers in baseball. Okay, so yeah, okay, those guys are good. And now you had another guy that's already part of that rotation, Gerrit Cole. His whip is just barely over one. He's averaging just about one walk or hit per inning pitched. 12-5 this season with a 2.94 ERA. You have Zach Greinke added to Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole in this rotation, and you have what you've done now for the Houston Astros is just basically right off the bat made them possibly the favorite to win the World Series. I think there's a lot of things that shifted there. The Astros right now are 69-40, which is just percentage points worse than the Yankees, who are 68-39. So they have one more win than the Yankees. They have one more loss as well. So the Yankees have a 636 winning percentage. The Astros have a 633 winning percentage. They're 8 games ahead of the Oakland Athletics right now. And Houston adding Zach Greinke to their rotation. I don't want to see the Houston Astros if I'm in the playoffs. I'm just Zach Greinke, Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole. What do we talk about all the time when you get to the playoffs? You really need 3 starting pitchers that can get you where you need to go. And they have 3 of the best in the major leagues right now, and 3 of the best as far as not walking guys and not allowing hits. That's like less than 9 hits per 9 innings. They're not even giving up a hit per inning or a hit or a walk per inning. Like, it's insane what those 3 have been able to do, and now you have them all 3 on the same team. And, yeah, I feel bad for the teams that are going to have to go up against them. The Yankees have a good team this year, and they've put together a solid season so far at 68-39. Again, currently they are the best team in the American League, but they're 4-6 in their last 10 games, and the Astros are 7-3, and you would only expect them to get better with what they have in their rotation. Zach Greinke moving from the National League to the American League. I read a thread last night on Twitter, and it's fun to kind of go back on some of this stuff because you forget what actually happened when Greinke was playing for the Royals. And I'm going to read some of these quotes because they're funny, because Zach is a guy that he's a different cat. And you know, he was my favorite player. He's actually exactly 2 months younger than I am, so we're basically the same age. He was a guy that when he came into the majors, I kind of gravitated towards because he was my age and I could kind of relate at that point in time. But what you can't really relate to is everything that he's gone through in his life and some of the setbacks. You know, he had that basically a mental breakdown, and he left the game for a while. And the Royals now are bared. They, you know, credit them. They stuck with him. They gave him a chance to come back, and they were able to do some things. When Zach Greinke was called up to the Royals, Mike Dershowitz was the manager there in Omaha, and he kind of was talking to him. He's like, Zach, I've been told you're going to do one more start down here. Then they're calling you up. Congratulations, kid. You've earned it. I'm happy for you. Greinke says after a long pause, he's like, I don't know. Do you think if we asked them, they would let me go back to single A and be a shortstop? I think I can be a pretty good shortstop. And Dershowitz, after an equally long pause, said, what in the world are you talking about? Are you kidding me? And Greinke says, I think I want to play shortstop. I was thinking I could start at single A and then, you know, work my way up. Jersey, Zach, this makes no sense. What are you talking about? They're calling you the big leagues. The big leagues, this is your dream. It's everyone's dream, Greinke. Oh, okay. And with that, Greinke gets up from his chair, and to this day, Jersey doesn't know if Greinke was serious or not. That's Zach Greinke. You know, some of the things that he did in Kansas City, there's stories about what Jeremy Offelt gave up a home run and came back to the bench and claimed he had made a good pitch, and then everyone kept their distance as Offelt was mad, and then Zach comes in and he went and looked at it and says, actually, that was a pretty bad pitch. And then Offelt's like, thanks, Zach, sarcastically. Like, no, really, I went back to the clubhouse and looked at the pitch on video. It was a really bad pitch right over the middle of the plate, and you got it up. I could have hit that out. Thanks, Zach. Yeah. And then to Alex Gordon one time, the second story from a different teammate there with Gordon. Gordon saw something in the video room that he wanted. He told Gordon that he's had something in the video room that he wanted to show him. Zach Greinke did, and Greinke, who's got a good baseball eye, for a long time the Royals thought Greinke would make a great scout after he was done. Anyway, Gordon followed Greinke into the video room and got ready to receive some advice. And then on the television queued up was a home run Greinke hit against Arizona in his fourth big league at bat. They watched it together, then watched it again. And Greinke said, do more of that. That was his advice to Alex Gordon. Like I said, this is a different guy. And I just, the only reason I'm bringing these up is because I saw these things last night. And it was just, it was insanely funny kind of reading this stuff, because Greinke's a guy that really doesn't care. Now, he doesn't like being in front of the media and doing all these things. He's not a big fan of the people that chase him for autographs, and he'll try to get away from them if he can. But he does love kids. He makes time for kids. He's just a different guy. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to read some of those quotes that Zach Greinke had when he was with the Royals, because it's therapy for me, because I miss him. There's a lot of people that were mad at him that said, we don't want him to leave. I don't know why he wants to leave. If he's not all in, we're not going to like him anymore. Basically, Zach Greinke said at the time, like, this isn't going the direction that I think we should be going to win games. And at that time, it really wasn't. I mean, Zach Greinke, after the 2010 season, the Royals were not that good. And so people got frustrated, and they're mad at Zach Greinke. Still, listen, I'm going to be completely honest with you. If they didn't have Zach Greinke as an asset to trade, we wouldn't be talking about a team that has a World Series championship in 2015. I'm very confident of that and feel strongly about that. So you can be mad if you want to about the way Zach left, saying he wanted out because he didn't think the team was going in the right direction. Go ahead and trade me. Well, they traded him to Milwaukee, and they got a lot of great pieces out of that, and even more pieces once they got everything done in Milwaukee and made some more trades. So you can't be mad at Zach Greinke on that part of it. But Zach's always been one of my favorite players, and I still, I supported him. I liked him ever since he's left Kansas City as well. But Zach Greinke, now a member of the Houston Astros, and this team is going to be outstanding. I mean, they've got everything they need right now to contend and maybe win another championship and do what they did again just 2 years ago in 2017, try to get back here this year and win yet another title. You can see that happening. There's definitely the possibility of that happening here for these Houston Astros yet again. So Houston gets better there. The Astros also made another deal yesterday, which kind of goes back to the Kansas City Royals. And that is, remember, a couple weeks back when the Royals traded Martin Maldonado to the Cubs for Mike Montgomery. Well, the Cubs have now flipped Maldonado, and he's headed right back to the Houston Astros for utility man Tony Kemp. If you'll remember, Martin Maldonado played with the Houston Astros during his career once before. And we go back to his career, and he didn't play there a long time, but he was part of the Houston Astros in 2018 and had a little bit of time there with Houston. Most of his career, the early part of his career, was spent with Milwaukee, and then played with the Angels. In 2018, he was traded from the Angels to the Astros. That's where he was last year. And then the Royals got him here in the offseason. The Cubs picked him up in a trade. Now he's been, again, traded to the Houston Astros yet again. So that's another one of the trades that happened here yesterday, right before the trade deadline. Most of these were opening up new windows when I clicked on trades on this trade tracker that I was looking at. But apparently this one decided to just go forward to the next, I'm not sure where that went, so I gotta go back and reopen the trade deadline page that I had, had all the trades on it. I don't know if I accidentally closed that or what happened on that, but, other trades that happened yesterday, Scooter Jeanette of the Reds, the second baseman, was traded to the San Francisco Giants for a player to be named later. Also, Nicholas Castellanos, who people might have remembered for the Detroit Tigers, the outfielder, is headed to the Chicago Cubs as they're trying to make a playoff push there. The Cubs are, so they get Nick Castellanos, who you've heard of again with the Tigers. Braves improving their bullpen as they get Shane Green from the Tigers, all-star closer. Let's see what they had to give up for him. They also got right-hander Mark Melancon from the San Francisco Giants. They had to give up two minor leaguers to the Tigers for Green, and they sent pitchers to the Giants as well, two pitchers there for those two deals as the Braves are trying to improve their bullpen and get where they need to be. Jed Gyorko was traded to the Dodgers, the infielder from the Cardinals. And we'll see what he can do there. Also, outfielder Corey Dickerson has been traded to Philadelphia from Pittsburgh. Tanner Roark traded from the Reds to the A's. And, yeah, so those are the main deals that happened there. We told you about Martin Maldonado. And, again, the deal on Tuesday night that sent Trevor Bauer from the Indians to the Reds, and the Indians acquired Yasiel Puig. A top prospect from the Reds, Taylor Trammell, went to the Padres. So, again, a lot that happened in that deal. But it was a frenzy yesterday. I was talking about the other day, there hadn't been a lot of trades being made. And you would think maybe there would be some a little bit earlier with just one deadline now. But they went up and waited to the end of that deadline. And boy, I tell you what, the Houston Astros positioned themselves to be, without question, the favorite in the American League. Right now, your favorite in the National League would be the Los Angeles Dodgers, as they've had an outstanding season so far there in the National League. They've been fighting. They're toward the top of the list for the best record of baseball. They do have that right now at 71-39. So the Dodgers and Astros right now, I think, are probably the odds-on favorites. And watch when it all comes to fruition. The Yankees are going to get it done and beat the Astros. And this rotation that the Astros have, not even really going to matter. So, yeah, we'll find out if that is the case here as the season goes on and once we get to the end of the season. As far as Zach Greinke's concerned, I'm going to double-check how long his contract is still in with what would have been the Diamondbacks and now the Astros. I thought he had recently signed a fairly long deal, and he actually is under Astros control for two more years after this. So 2020 and 2021, he is with the Astros right now. This year he made $31.5 million, $3 million signing bonus with that as well. So payroll salary is $34.5 million, $35 million the next 2 years, $32 million base salary and $3 million signing bonuses as part of the deal that he signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So this is a deal that keeps him unless they decide to trade him or maybe flip him and make something out of that. But the Astros are set up with a couple more years here with Zach Greinke as well. And 2021 through 2021, I should say. And then he's an unrestricted free agent at the age of 38 in 2022. So Houston could be the last team that Zach plays for. He might try to get a deal and continue to pitch on into his 40s in that scenario. So we'll find out. 38 years old when he's a free agent in 2022. So it's a trade that puts the Astros in pretty good shape as they move on as well. And I don't know what the other contracts look like for the Astros there. Justin Verlander he's under control through 2021 as well for Houston. And Garrett Cole, he's under control just through this year. He's a free agent after this year for the Astros, and he's just 28 years old. He's the youngest out of the three starters, this three-headed monster now that the Houston Astros have. So Verlander and Greinke for the next 2 years after this year are still under control for the Astros. And that makes them dangerous if they can continue to hold on to some of their top players that they have in their team and their franchise as well. Houston Astros could be a team that's going to be at the top of that division for quite some time with the kind of pitching that they have after trading for Zach Greinke yesterday. So big trade there, and that's the biggest trade of this 2019 trade deadline. Again, no more trades in the major leagues. That was a solid, firm one trade deadline this year. Again, in the past, they've been that trade deadline at July 31st, and there was another trade deadline August 31st that was the waiver trade deadline, where if a guy got waived and made it through waivers, you could trade him and get something. But that's not the case anymore. There are no more two trade deadlines. It's just one trade deadline now here in 2019 in baseball. All right, so we move on now, and I'm going to make sure that there's nothing else going on that we want to talk about here in the sporting world before we get to the Kansas City Chiefs, again, who have made a pretty big move on their offense here. And they have a new running back. It's somebody within house, but we asked, is that good or is that bad? By the way, Ezekiel Elliott, we haven't really talked about this, but Ezekiel Elliott is holding out right now. with the Cowboys. It's going on for almost a week now. Unfortunately, the Cowboys, if you're a fan of them, it doesn't sound like it's going to be ending anytime soon. According to NFL Network, the two sides haven't come anywhere close to working out an extension. And if you're wondering what's holding up the deal, Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones basically revealed the main issue during an interview on Thursday. It comes down to this. Cowboys don't want to be handing out any record-setting contracts. He said, we've got three really good football players that we're dealing with here, and that has that have very good representation, and they want to set the market. We can't push the issue unless we want to be a market setter, and we're, he says, damn sure not going to be a market setter because of all the things that go with the being a Dallas Cowboy. So, that's a, that comment I just mentioned what he said, darn sure. comment is a pretty notable one, and that's mostly because it seems directed at Elliott's camp. So Ezekiel Elliott holding out for the Cowboys. Thought maybe you're going to have that kind of issue with the Chiefs, but it did not come to fruition with Chris Jones because he has decided that he needs to be with the team and continue to be there and, you know, make that defense better. That's, and he's learning under a new defensive coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo as well. Speaking of that, Kendall Fuller, we heard from the other day from Steve Spagnuolo that he will be playing as a nickel corner. He'll be in the slot, basically. He won't go outside. Last year, Bob Sutton, his first year after Kendall Fuller was traded to the Chiefs for Alex Smith from the Redskins, and last year, Bob Sutton, for some odd reason, if you traded somebody like that, you wanted him to be, if you're trading Alex Smith for a corner, you want a shutdown corner. You want a guy that can cover. And in Bob Sutton's system, he didn't have a great year last year. We'll just put it that way. I mean, he wasn't chopped liver. He wasn't terrible. But he didn't have the best year, clearly, that he's had in his career. And then, but, you know, we said right away, you know, you trade for Kendall Fuller, you've got Marcus Peters on the other side. Well, then they traded Marcus Peters, and then there's been all this question about cornerback now for the Chiefs. Well, they went out and addressed some of that during the offseason here, just kind of looking at their team and some of their cornerbacks that they have on the roster right now. And I'm going to pull up. I actually did pull that up, but it's not the one that I wanted to have. They've got Kendall Fuller. They've got Charvarius Ward. They went out and got Breshad Breeland. So they've got guys that can play that cornerback position, basically. That's what we're talking about now. I think the Breeland signing was very important in the offseason. And he comes over to play corner. Now, Kendall Fuller was talked to about the new system with Steve Spagnuolo and playing that nickel or slot corner position.
I think coming in, when I went to Virginia Tech, we had our DB coach. He just always preached us on learning how to be a DB, not just learning how to play one position. And I think that's one thing that, you know, in this system, the nickel does. You know, you have to do a lot of different things. They ask you to do a lot of different things. So, you know, you're out there, some people say you're just playing one position, but the way you're playing it is almost as if you're playing corner, nickel, safety, and all that. So it's been fun.
So corner, nickel, safety, and all that, but it still means that most of that's going to be on the inside. He's not going to go to the outside in one-on-one situations and try to be a shutdown corner on the outside. He's going to be a nickel corner, which most of that happens in the slot on the inside in the middle of the field, not on the outside of the field on the sidelines. So that's what you're hoping for anyway for Kendall Fuller, that he can return, because he statistically the numbers prove that when he was with the Redskins, that he was actually the best slot corner in the league, and on the inside positions he's one of the best slot corners in the league since he's come into the league, as you heard there from Kendall Fuller. So we talked about all those corners. Well, there was one name I didn't mention in that cornerback list, and that was Tremont Smith. Why didn't I mention Tremont Smith? He's on the team. He's a corner. No, he's not. Tremont Smith is a running back now for the Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about this coming in, that the Chiefs have made a switch and moved over Tremont Smith, who last year really made most of his hay, and you probably remember him more as a kick returner than as a cornerback last season. He did play a little bit of corner, but didn't have a great season there. Tremont Smith comes out of Central Arkansas. He was from Sachs, Alabama High School, where he was the Alabama Offensive Player of the Year, apparently. I don't have all that information right in front of me, but he did play offense, played quarterback his senior year of high school. They're in Alabama and went to Central Arkansas. Had a good career there. He had 41 tackles and 5 interceptions. It was a third-team FCS All-America selection in his senior year in 2017. He had 15 interceptions in his career at Central Arkansas, but now has been moved over to offense. So we're going to see how this all works out. Kendall Fuller, how did you feel when you saw Tremont Smith over there on offense?
It was weird. I told some of the guys, it kind of got me a couple times. Because when he went out there, I thought he was a receiver. So I'm thinking I'm following the two receivers, but it's him and another receiver, which is just a receiver and a running back. So it was a little bit weird to see, but you know, I'm definitely excited to see what he can do.
So that was Kendall Fuller yesterday at the press conference after everything was done. So we're going to hear from people first, and then we'll talk about what this means for the Chiefs moving Smith to running back. Andy Reid on Smith moving over to running back.
Listen, he was the Alabama Player of the Year, right? Offensive Player of the Year. So we had a running back nicked up. I had messed with him last year that I was going to play with him a little bit over on the offensive side. So I moved him over today, just take a peek at him, and we'll see how that goes. We know he could do corner side, but like to see him do some offensive stuff too.
How'd the first day go for him?
Yeah, you know what? He actually did a good job with some of the stuff. He's going to have to get the verbiage down. But today was a good starter. Fundamentally, it was a good starter for him. He'll stay on the offensive side for right now until I get a chance to evaluate him.
It was asked whose idea it was to move Tremont Smith to running back, and Andy clearly took credit for that.
Well, it was my idea, but I mean, Dave Tobin and I talked about it, and David mentioned it to me that, you know, this kid could be explosive on the offensive side, and so I gave him that chance. So,
he said Dave Tobe talked to him. Well, Dave Tobe's a special teams coach, so he was the guy that really was working with him last year in special teams. He was a kick returner and showed that speed and ability when he was returning kicks last year. But what does Tremont Smith feel about it? He talked about the reaction of the defense yesterday that you heard a little bit from Kendall Fuller.
I mean, it was all fun and games right now. They couldn't believe it. Like, they see me with the red jersey. They're like, are you kidding? Are you doing this for a scout team today or whatever? I was just like, I mean, no, it's a permanent move, so just get used to it.
What was the process like? Smith talks about that on the move to running back.
It was actually brought up last year, you know, midway through the season, doing some good kick returns. And he brought it up, just some packages, actually. So, I mean, it's been thought of. It just didn't happen overnight. No, I didn't run. For scout team last year when we played the Ravens, I was Lamar Jackson. So that's the most work I got, yep.
So that's the process of how it happened. So they're asking now, what's the hardest part of the move here, moving from defensive back at corner to running back now on offense?
Just learning the playbook. You know, Coach Reed will throw a new play or five every day. So it's just catching up on all the offense that's been through OTAs and through this training camp.
And then he asks, what does his addition to the offense mean for the offense?
I mean, just a lot of speed. You know, me, Tyreek, McCole, D. Will. It's going to be a lot of speed on the offensive side, and just, I mean, hopefully a lot of touchdowns. Being under Coach Reed's system, you know, it's just he's going to find mismatches and find a way to get you open.
So Tremont Smith moves to running back. So now let's talk about it. Let's see what this means for the Kansas City Chiefs. For me, on the surface, you're like, oh, another speedy guy in the backfield. That looks like fun. We'll see what he can do. It's interesting to see a guy move from defense to offense, and obviously, like I said, we've seen he definitely has speed. There's no question about that. Seeing him return kicks last year in special teams, and a guy that was drafted in the sixth round as a defensive back, but again, etched out a role as a kickoff returner. He had 33 returns for 886 net yards, 26.85 average per kickoff return. That's good. He was named the NFL All-Rookie Team as a kick returner. He did a lot of good things as a kick returner, and now moving from corner to running back. So on the surface, you're like, yeah, you like the speed, but I need to understand and know that this guy is going to turn around, because this sounds like they're trying to make this a permanent move. They want this to be the move where he moves to running back. So now the question is, you got all these running backs on the team. Damian Williams, by the way, you heard Andy Reid said at the beginning there that we got a guy nicked up at running back. That's Damian Williams, who's actually coming into this season to be the starting running back for the Chiefs, was kept on to start. They did go and get Carlos Hyde here in the offseason as well. They're hoping he can do a little bit there and add to this team. Darrell Williams, we saw a little bit last year. There's also a guy by the name of James Williams, who's a rookie that's on the roster right now. Josh Caldwell, Marcus Marshall. Those are two rookies that we don't really know much about. They're unsigned, undrafted free agents, I believe, here. And they're really, like, way down on the depth chart, those last three guys that I mentioned. By the way, Josh Caldwell comes from Northwest Missouri State, so a local guy there. And then Darwin Thompson is also, he's listed third on the depth chart at running back. He's the rookie that was drafted out of Utah State in the sixth round here this season. So really what we're looking at is Carlos Hyde, Darwin Thompson, Darrell Williams, and Damian Williams are really the guys that have experience in the NFL, or Darwin Thompson, as we mentioned, was drafted by the Chiefs in the sixth round from Utah State. So you've lost Kareem Hunt last year, who was definitely one of the top running backs the Chiefs have had recently. But, you know, you don't want to rehash all that. You know why Kareem Hunt's gone. We understand that. But what it does mean this year is you go into the full season without Kareem Hunt, without a running back that you know has had that kind of success in the NFL. So you're Damian Williams and Carlos Hyde, really. Those are the two names that we're looking at right now for the Chiefs that have any kind of experience or that would even help this team at running back. So it's something we've talked about already here during training camp. They just don't have the numbers. They don't have the guys that they like at running back. So that now forces you as Andy Reid to try to see, oh, let's look around. Let's see if I can find somebody to step in here and play running back for me. And that guy that they deem the guy is going to come around and play running back for him is over on the other side of the ball playing cornerback for him. He was drafted as a corner out of Central Arkansas in the sixth round last year in Tremont Smith. So, listen, I don't think it's a terrible idea here. Tremont Smith, I think, is his physique and what he can do would probably fit better as a wide receiver if he could play that position. But the Chiefs have too many wide receivers as it is. There's no way that you want to move him over and try to put him in there. So now you're trying to teach him how to play running back, that he can make the team in that way. I mean, these wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, they drafted Mecole Hardman in the second round. You know he's going to make the team. DeMarcus Robinson had a great year. Not a great year, but he you know, made some progress last year and was a target at times, especially when Chris Conley was, you know, maybe not on the field and being as accurate or as big of a weapon as maybe he could have been. But DeMarcus Robinson stepped in there and did some good things last year. Garrett Dieter's a guy that stepped in and did some decent things last year. We're not even talking about these other wide receivers that are at the bottom of this list right now. Most of these guys probably won't even make the team. There's about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys that probably aren't even in contention to make this team right now. Byron Pringle is one of those that is, and he's getting set for his second season there after going out with an injury last year. So you can't put Tremont Smith at wide receiver. There's too many guys there. When he talked yesterday in the press conference after practice was done there at training camp, they asked him, did he play running back in high school? Well, I played it my freshman year, like early in high school. But mostly during high school, I was a quarterback or a wide receiver. And his senior year, when he was named Alabama Player of the Year offensively, he was a quarterback there. At Sacks, Alabama. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is just a move because they don't have guys back there. They don't have a guy that they're confident in. And you always hear, if you have six quarterbacks on your roster, do you have one quarterback? I mean, if you're fighting, you know, TCU is an example, in college football, there's like six guys fighting for their starting quarterback position. Do you have a quarterback if you have six of them fighting for that position? That's kind of like if there's competition at a position, if you have four guys that could play running back for you, but you don't know who's going to play running back for you, do you have a running back or do you not have a running back? Is this going to be by committee? Do you feel good about it? There's a lot of teams that can do that, that have done the Broncos, I think, are a perfect example of a team that has a system, and you can really plug in almost any running back into that system. It'll work out for you. But the bottom line is here, the Chiefs don't have high-quality names that have had success at running back in this league, and I think that has more to do with Tremont Smith moving over to play running back for the Chiefs than whatever his ability that he showed last year as a kick returner and whatever he did in high school. You heard him say, I haven't scored since my senior year of college. He hasn't scored on offense since his senior year of high school. He's gone 5 years since he's played offense. I mean, think about that. 5 years since he's played offense, and now he's going to go play offense at the highest level of football imaginable. Not even imaginable, it's a fact. He's going to play offense at the highest level of football on one of the most high-octane offenses in the league. And you heard him say, the hardest thing about this is learning the playbook and the five new plays that Andy Reid adds every day. You're putting a lot on this guy. And listen, I'm not saying it can't work out, but on the surface it looks fun because he brings speed. He brings more of that dynamic ability to your offense. But with that, you've got to understand the offensive. You've got to be able to run it. I don't think Andy Reid would have made this switch without putting trust in Tremont Smith to learn the offense to be able to do these kind of things. But when I dive deeper into it, it's because Damian Williams got hurt, and he's really your only guy that you had penciled in, or in pen, I guess, in ink, to be your starter this year, and he's out with an injury right now. Now, I don't know how long that injury is going to last. Like I said, if I could get on the Chiefs website right now, I'd probably be able to tell you more about Damian Williams' injury. But again, he's missed another session here today, and he's got a hamstring issue is what it is. Jordan Lucas, by the way, safety for the Chiefs, also has a hamstring. But again, Damian Williams out right now with a hamstring issue. Haven't seen the depth of that and how much it really means and how bad it is. But he's the one that's been nicked up. So if you don't have Damian Williams, you got to find somebody else to get in there. And those running backs that I mentioned past Darrell Williams, who had a little bit of experience last year for the Chiefs, they don't have experience. They're not into it. And so I guess, you know, Tremont Smith might be the guy that has just as much experience as those guys because they don't have professional experience. And he can step in and do some other things that maybe those guys can't do athletically with the speed and skill that he has in that area. So like I said, I don't think Andy Reid would make this move unless he felt comfortable with it, that he felt like Tremont Smith could learn everything he needs to know about this offense. But for me, it just doesn't look that great. I mean, you don't have running backs on the team. And listen, Andy Reid's had success without the best running backs in the world on his team. But he's also had very good success with guys like Brian Westbrook and Kareem Hunt, like we mentioned, and other guys that have done some good things in his system that have provided a lot for him, you know, even catching the ball, not just running the football. So maybe that's the idea here. Maybe you put Tremont Smith and he's more of like an H-back or something like that that can just – he's like a what you would have drafted Tyreek Hill as a running back, but really a guy can be a receiver, a DeAnthony Thomas that he had that could be he basically is drafted as a running back, but he basically turned into a receiver and just did a lot of different things from the position. So this is probably what Tremont Smith is going to be. It's probably what they're looking at. I don't feel like Tremont Smith's probably going to get a lot of handoffs, but you can put them in. I'm guessing they're going to put him in the backfield and just try to use him and his speed and his athleticism to do things. But again, it doesn't look good for your running back position when you list him as a running back and put him there. So I'm hoping for the best with Tremont Smith, and it's a fun story. And if he has success converting from defense to offense and does a lot of good things for the Chiefs, that'll be great. I'm hoping he does. But on the surface, for me, it's like, Chiefs don't have a running back. Let's go get a cornerback to come over and play running back. We'll see how it all works out. By the way, the NFL preseason does start tonight. It's the, I believe, the Hall of Fame game is coming up tonight, and that is at 7 o'clock tonight. And it is on NBC, so you can catch that one here this evening. It is at the Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. It's the Hall of Fame game, which, by the way, coming up this weekend, Tony Gonzalez, former Chief, will be inducted and enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we'll probably hear from that on Monday morning from the Hall of Fame ceremonies. Again, Hall of Fame game tonight, preseason football beginning with the Broncos and Falcons. If you're into that, I'll probably turn it on because I want to see what the Broncos have at quarterback and stuff like that, and I don't think Joe Flacco is going to play tonight, so it'd be interesting to see Drew Locke and what he can bring to the table for the Broncos, the rookie quarterback from Missouri. So that's coming up tonight. Again, Broncos and Falcons, preseason football, the Hall of Fame game, getting things underway for preseason. Everybody else, most of the preseason games will start next week. The Chiefs' first preseason game will be next Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to the time being for that. Chiefs training camp continuing to go on, and we'll continue to keep you up to date here on the Sports Ticket and on our sportscast on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. Thanks again for tuning in today, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Waterside Wake Up.